Evening to you all. Good to be amongst you again. We're looking tonight at 1 Philippians. And there's a lovely verse from chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." There's something great about unity, isn't there? Something great about being together and exalting the name of Jesus together. And that's what we're going to do in the first hymn. Amen. Amen. Well, I've brought to you tonight something very, very precious. Very precious. Something, well, it is so good it comes in a jar. Honey. Have we got any beekeepers here tonight? Any beekeepers? No. I thought there might be one beekeeper at least. I think in our church we've got two or three. In fact, this very valuable jar comes from some dear friends of ours in the church. And I think it's around about this time of year, May, isn't it, that they start cleaning the honey? Something like that, isn't it? I'm sure you know all about the life of honeybees. You know how valuable they are to the planet, don't you? It was Albert Einstein who once said that if the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man would have no more than 4 years to live. No more bees, no more pollination, and no more men. And scientists today agree that the importance of bees to our ecosystem is incredibly valuable. And the honeybee is by far the insect that we often take for granted. You know, each colony has only one queen bee. And her sole responsibility is laying eggs in the summer when they're most active. And the queen lays an average. You want to take a guess? How many eggs do you think she lays a day? Yes. 300. Good guess, but not quite right. A bit more than that. Higher? Anyone want to take a guess? 500. Yeah, good guess. A bit higher. 1,000. Yeah, any advance on 1,000? 2,500. 2,500 eggs a day. And she has to stay busy because the average life of a span is only about 6 weeks. But the queen can live up to 5 years, but the individual bees only last about 6 weeks. There is one queen bee, but there's about 200 to 300 drones. They're the male bees. And about 20 to 50,000 females. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Each type of bee, as you know, has got a different job, haven't they? I wonder whether you can think of some of the bees, some of the jobs that the bees do. I thought I'd come here tonight and you'd know all the answers. Anyone? Yes?
They pollinate flowers.
Yeah, they pollinate flowers. They do that. Yeah, and what do they do in the hive? What sort of jobs are there? Yeah?
Looking after the eggs,
yes. So, yes?
Making honey?
Yeah, they do that for sure. Well, some look after the queen. They're her attendants, if you like. And then there are some who sort of are nurse bees. They look after the sort of the eggs and the baby bees. And then there are housekeepers. There are wax makers, and there are guards to the hive, and I guess if you went up to a hive and you sort of opened it and you didn't know what you were doing, the guards would be there. They'd let you know that they were there too. And then there's the field bees and so on. And in order for the hive to survive, all the honeybees must do their part. And it was recently discovered that some bees are there to act as air conditioners. They look after the heating within the hive. If it gets too hot, they'll flap their wings and cool it all down. They live for the survival of the hive and to support the queen. And it was reported in the Independent newspaper last March that a recent study has found that honeybees learn from each other to perfect their waggle dancing. Have you heard of that? Their waggle dancing. There you go. There they all are doing their jobs. And then the next one, Jill. Lovely. And there he is collecting nectar from the plants. And then the next one, the waggle dance. Now, I don't know, you will know this, I'm sure. But, you know, when a scout bee goes off and he finds a source of nectar, he'll come back and he'll do a waggle dance to the rest of the hive. Did you know that? Yeah? Incredible. And it's in a figure of eight. So they do this waggle dance. And it's well known, but a study last year looked at it and they found actually that within 2 weeks of a new bee being hatched, they do this waggle dance. And they thought that it was innate. But then when they looked at it and they did the study on it, they found that actually the bees learnt from the older bees to perfect this waggle dance. Because when they started doing it, they realized that actually it was very disorientated. The first waggle dance, when they started doing it, it wasn't very precise. But gradually, as they learned from the older bees, they realized that actually bees pass down information from one to another. There was another research which showed that the bumblebee learned to solve puzzles by their peers. They learnt from their peers. And the waggle dance is considered to be one of the most remarkable innovations of animal communication. What's all that got to do with us tonight? Well, do you ever wonder why we come to church? And how often we should come. We come together as part of our worship to exalt Jesus' name together, don't we? We come to feed on his word, to be motivated and to be encouraged for action. And we also come to build the body of Christ. In the church's quest to become more relevant to today's world, it's often guilty of losing an essential ingredient of what the church is all about. And that is building up one another. So often, church is about a few performers, a few entertainers on a stage. And the congregation is made up of people wanting to get rather than to give. And on leaving, the performance is evaluated much like a play or a concert. I don't know whether you have sort of kill the preacher on Sunday lunch. You know, you sort of kill the preacher's talk when you get together on a Sunday lunch. But it's not meant to be like that, is it? The church was conceived to be a bit like the beehive. And where the workers selflessly give of themselves and they support each other, all in service to the King. And so we come not only to receive, but especially to give. And that responsibility doesn't just rest with the preacher or the leadership team or the stewards or whatever. Every one of us is necessary, is vital in the building up of God's church. The Apostle Paul gave an analogy of a body, didn't he? And he said, we can't all be an arm or a leg or an eye. We've all got a part to play. The body is maimed and hurting without all the members functioning as they should. Imagine a foot that doesn't walk. And as we work together, it's all for the glory of God. And we must exercise our spiritual gifts in order to glorify God. Well, we're going to be considering shortly from Philippians 1 how we can partner one another in our service for God so that together we can glorify his name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Well, let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this letter written nigh on 2,000 years ago, still relevant, still packed with advice and counsel for us today. And we pray that as we consider it, so you will speak into our hearts and reveal yourself even more to us. Lord, we want to be relevant in our community and in our world. And you know that we live in dire times, Lord. When we look at the newspaper day by day, when we hear the news, when we see it on our TVs, Lord, we realize that, well, the Lord Jesus could come at any time. And we pray that we will be living in such a way that we won't be ashamed when he returns. Fire us up, we pray, with your gospel. We bring our world to you, Lord. You know the wars in Ukraine, wars in Gaza. Then there's the threat of war. There's China, Lord. Then there's chaos in America, and even in our own country and in our own government, Lord. And then all the other nations that we don't know so much about, but we know that there are undercurrents going on in many countries in Africa, Lord, in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Lord, we could just name every other country and there's something going on. But we thank you, Lord, as we sit here tonight, we recognize that you are King of Kings and that you are in control and that you are not oblivious to all these things. We thank you that you made this world and all the nations are subject to you. And one day, every eye will see you. Every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is King of all kings. And we thank you that we know that tonight. We thank you, as we've been singing, that we are children of the King. And so we pray that you'll fire us for this week, Lord, for tomorrow, as we go out into our community, as we go to work, as we move around, Lord, help us to bear your name and to realize that we are your ambassadors and so be conscious of your presence with us. And we thank you for your Spirit who lives within us, reveals the Lord Jesus to us. And we pray that he will have freedom and access into every part of our lives, that we might be constricted to you, that we might be wholly living for Jesus. May you be glorified in this community, by this fellowship, Lord. Bless us, we pray. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray across our world tonight, Lord. Wherever your name is uplifted, we long that people will be drawn to Jesus. That even in our post-Christian country, Lord, there will be a turning back to you, a stirring of hearts. We long that there'll be an awakening to the power of your name. So start with us, Lord, and help us to be diligent as we come to look at your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.